Welcome to the Dietitians Unplugged podcast with Erin Flores and Glennis Oyston. Join us as we explore the idea of health and wellness from a new perspective. Each episode will explore topics that will help you improve your health, body image, and fitness without obsessing over the scale or counting calories. We believe in health at every size, intuitive eating, and body positivity, and each new episode will help you build the confidence to ditch the scale and embrace your health without shaming your body.
Hi, I'm Erin Flores, and I'm a registered dietitian with a private practice in Los Angeles, California. I also am the author of a blog, Balance, Variety, and Moderation, RDN, and I've been writing about intuitive eating, health at every size, and weight stigma for some time, and I really believe that these are approaches that everyone can adopt into their lives to help them improve their health and change their relationship with food for the better.
And I'm Glennis Oyston, a clinical dietitian and author of the blog Dare to Not Diet, where I talk about non-diet, weight-neutral nutrition, and learning how to love your body.
In today's episode of Dietitians Unplugged, we're going to learn a little bit about each other and introduce you to our philosophy as dietitians. So, Glennis, I think the first thing is I'd love to learn a little bit more about your history, how you first learned about health at every size, and maybe how you would explain that to our listeners.
Okay, thanks, Erin. So I was a dieter for a long time, 16 years, and during that time I had sort of success. I've lost weight and then successfully maintained weight for a long time, and I decided to become a dietitian. And my first nutrition class was with a woman named Linda Bacon, and she is the author of a book called Health at Every Size, and she's a proponent of health at every size. And that was very different. Learning about that was very different from what I had been doing. And as I sat in that class, I had to be honest with myself that I had been dieting and I had maintained my weight, but I actually, my quality of life was very poor. I thought about food all the time, 24 hours a day. I was planning all my meals all the time in my head. I was also terrified of eating any kind of meal out. I was thinking about food constantly, what I could and couldn't eat. So as I sat in the class, and I was so hungry sitting in that class, that it started to sink in and thinking, maybe this dieting thing is not actually working for me. Maybe it's working for me in terms of how my body looks, but not in terms of the quality of life that I have. And so I started to, by the end of that class, that 3 months of class, I was ready to just give up dieting. I was so relieved and so excited to be able to try foods and not think about food and not worry about food. It wasn't easy at first, but, you know, eventually it's still easier than dieting, no matter what. So I kind of, the health at every size, for people who don't know what it is essentially there are five tenets to it, but the way I think of it is approaching health without thinking about your weight, basically. Changing your behavior so that you're healthy, but that you're not worried about what your weight is going to be. That's, to me, the core of what it is.
So what's interesting in hearing you tell me this story is, looking at it now, how fortunate it must have been to be sitting in Linda Bacon's class as your first nutrition class. Because for me, the first classes I always went to were, you know, well, okay, here's, you know, what is basic nutrition, and here's how you get someone to lose weight.
Right.
And so what a lucky thing to have that experience that really sounds like it affected your whole professional life.
Absolutely. My personal life. I mean, I didn't know it at the time because I didn't know who Linda Bacon was. This was a class in San Francisco, City College of San Francisco. I didn't know who she was. I'd never heard of her before. Some people said, oh, she's, you know, great. And other people said, oh, she's very biased, which is kind of funny because, I mean, everybody's got a bias. So, and I sat in that class for the first 2 months thinking, what is this woman talking about? What do you mean it's okay to be fat? What do you mean it's okay to not diet, to not try to lose weight if you're already fat? I just was so skeptical. But as I sat in the class, I decided to have an open mind, and I decided that, you know, she's kind of right. This life I'm living is complete crap, really. I mean, I couldn't, I have a significant other. We couldn't share meals a lot of times. I was saying, don't have cookies in the house because they tempt me. He's thinking, I can eat cookies. Why can't we have cookies in the house? You know? And it really was transformational for me. It was, it's really changed my life so much in terms of the quality of life that I have now and being so relaxed around food. All I ever wanted to be was a normal eater, and I could not be that way when I was maintaining a weight loss. So that was, it changed my life professionally because I had gotten into dietetics to help people lose weight. And that was a bit of a crisis moment where like, oh, if I'm not going to do that, what am I going to do? But I realized you can still approach health without using weight as the outcome.
And personally, how long did it really take for you to really embrace that philosophy of health at every size from years of being a chronic dieter?
You know, I think it was about 2 months, I was sitting in that class and I came in, I'm a dieter. I was sitting in the class, and as a snack, I would count out 12 almonds because on Weight Watchers, 12 almonds was 1 point, and that's what I could have for my snack. And of course, you're still so hungry after eating 12 almonds. So really about 2 months in, I was like, this is great. Let me just eat food and let me just feel satisfied. So really, almost immediately, I was able to, well, I don't want to say almost immediately, it was a couple of months. And, but by the end of that class, about three months in, I was like, I'm all in, forget dieting. And I literally have never looked back. I have never dieted since then. And the idea of dieting to lose weight just kind of makes me sick in my soul.
It's so interesting. And, you know, it's so similar to my experience. Because I knew about health at every size second. I learned about intuitive eating first, but I was also in school studying to be a dietitian, and I had heard of the book, but I, for whatever reason, had put off reading it until I was actually practicing as a dietitian. And once I read it, I was like, oh, this is me. Like someone followed me around for a few years, documented everything that I thought about food and put it in a book.
Wow.
And then figured out, and then also was giving me tools on how to change those thoughts, you know, cause I'd come from dieting also. I mean, I remember seeing a dietitian when I was a teenager, worst experience of my entire life. And you know, I lied to her. I faked my food journal. I faked my weights. It was really not a good experience. But, you know, I knew how to diet, you know, and I thought that that's what I wanted to help people do. But when I read intuitive eating, it really resonated with me that, oh, there's a different way. And that way is so different, but so important that it really, just like you, changed the entire direction of my professional career.
How long did it take you before you sort of were able to embrace intuitive eating?
I tell people that I am still working on it today.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are different things that I still work on personally, but I think I have more tools now on how to deal with it. Like, for example, for no really good reason, I just started, again, buying sourdough bread. I love sourdough bread.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if I'm going to have a turkey sandwich, I want it to be on sourdough bread, not on whole wheat bread. But for the past, literally, I mean, 10 years, I've been buying whole wheat bread. And I saw a sourdough bread in the market when I was shopping. And I was like, why can't I have sourdough bread? Like, is this a food rule, you know, that I can't have sourdough bread? And I bought sourdough bread. And so, you know, it's things like that that I'm always questioning with myself, you know, and always asking myself. I think, you know, when I think about intuitive eating and trying to explain it to people and why it's taken me years to also manage it, the word is curiosity that I want people to come away with, is that I'm always curious about the way I'm eating. I'm not black or white, right? I'm living in the gray. So I'm always asking myself these questions. Why am I, you know, choosing this food? Is it satisfying? Is it nourishing to me? Am I hungry? Am I eating for a different reason? And so I'm thankful that intuitive eating has given me that voice, that curiosity to always be asking myself what it's like when I'm eating. And I think that has been the most transformative thing with intuitive eating. And that's the thing that I try and give people in my practice. But I didn't come to health, I didn't learn about health at every size until a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But together, they just work so well.
Well, that's kind of funny because I learned about health at every size. And, you know, they say part of health at every size is eating food that you enjoy and listening to your internal hunger and fullness cues. And the reality is after dieting for 16 years, I had no clue what my internal cues sounded like. And I was thinking, well, I just eat then. And I kind of didn't know how to eat at that point. And I felt like I was going between still trying to diet a little bit or trying to restrict a little bit without really understanding what I was doing. And then also, you know, oh, I'm just going to eat all this ice cream. And about a year later, I found the book Intuitive Eating. And that, you're right, that fits perfectly with Health at Every Size. And that process of going through that book is so helpful in terms of learning what your hunger is. What does hunger feel like? How hungry do you want to be before you eat? And how full do you want to be? And that was really the piece that was missing for me when I, you know, it's easy to say, oh, just eat according to your hunger and fullness cues. But if you've been dieting for a long time, you don't even know what those sound like. So,
you know, and it's interesting that that's what you mentioned too, because I think when I try to explain people intuitive eating or health at every size, that's the one thing that they get, right? Is, oh, I just need to listen to my body. And my body tells me to go eat 2 tubs of ice cream for the next 3 weeks. Well, your body might be telling you that, but what I really emphasize to people is that, yes, that is a part of intuitive eating, but the other part is being connected. Right? Is, yes, I want you to have that permission to go eat whatever you want and what you crave, whether it's salad or whether it's a cookie, but I want you to be connected when you eat it. I want you to make sure that when you're eating it, that you're paying attention to how that food makes you feel, why you're eating it, and the satisfaction involved. So I think that's an interesting point, is that, you know, sometimes people just hear one part of it, and not the whole thing. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is so interesting is, especially as more people learn about intuitive eating, is how people are sort of making it their own, almost co-opting what the message is. And when I tell people that I practice intuitive eating, I said, I'm using the principles that are laid out in the book by Evelyn Tribbley and Elise Resch. I'm using some evidence-based material, some data to help me manage these things, and that I'm going to help you for my clients. So it's an important thing that I really try to emphasize to people when I talk to them about the subject. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question. I think one of the things that I've noticed in my professional life is sometimes both dietitians and our clients find this philosophy very hard to embrace.
Absolutely.
So what are your thoughts? Why do you think it's so hard for some people to embrace this way of thinking about food?
I think, first of all, we get so many messages about how wrong fat bodies are, larger bodies are. We get those messages all the time, and we get the other message that losing weight is just a matter of putting in the time, putting in the effort, having willpower. It's calories in, calories out. And we believe those messages, even though the science has shown us time and time again, that's not the case at all. It's just not working. And I think the other problem is that a lot of us go around with this fantasy of being thin. I heard this great phrase on the internet once, and it was the fantasy of being thin, how great your life is going to be when you achieve that ideal body. And I think it's hard to let go of the fantasy, you know? And you're letting go of, I know for me, when I sort of finally decided, well, this is going to be how I'm going to eat. And I actually did start to gain weight because I'd been restricting so long. And I had sort of abused my body and pushed it to the limits of what it could, how small it could be for so long. I started to gain weight pretty quickly. And that was pretty devastating, actually, for me, even though I said, no, I absolutely cannot diet again. It was sort of saying goodbye to this fantasy that I was living that I wasn't even happy with anyway, because by all accounts, I was thin, but I still wasn't happy. So I had to sort of rationalize that way. But I think it can be really hard to let go of that fantasy, that future where your life will be ideal and perfect someday. So I think for the people who are dieting, that is their resistance. And I think for dietitians, again, it's just our training, what we hear. Like you said, your first class was sort of, here's how to lose weight. And that's what I heard in later classes too. And luckily I had the grounding of my first nutrition class with Linda, sort of in the back of my head saying, well, that's not really how it works at all, actually. But we're just trotting out that same information for dietitians. And I think it's so hard to go against your formal education, even though all of the science out there backs up health and resistance, or at least at the very least, it backs up that dieting does not work. So I think that's part of the resistance. What's your experience with that?
You know, it's a couple things. One is for clients and people that I work with, I think the resistance is this notion that we're not going to judge success by the number on the scale, and that it's not going to be a quick fix. Some people come into my office and they expect, you know, one or two sessions, I'm going to give them the plan. And then from there on out, it's on their own. And, you know, people want sort of the easy fix to change the number on the scale. Mm-hmm. And I think when I talk to people about intuitive eating, the resistance is, well, you mean you're not guaranteeing that I'm going to lose weight? And I tell people, and I got this from the folks at the ladies over at Be Nourished, and they said it so well. They were telling their clients, we'll guarantee you one of three things with intuitive eating, is that you'll either lose weight, your weight will stay the same, or you'll gain weight. And I've sort of used that in my practice, and I tell people, honestly, like, I will guarantee you one of these three things also. And so that sometimes that's hard for people to hear, especially when they have been dieting for so long, because they want the diet. They want to change the number on the scale. And that's hard for people to try and give up. With professionals, you know, I think the biggest resistance I run into is not necessarily dietitians, but other healthcare providers. You know, when I tell them I try to teach health at every size, intuitive eating, it's sometimes harder for other healthcare professionals to really embrace that. And, but you know, when they see their clients that I'm working with make these long-term healthy changes, they see the results. And sometimes I really have to show them the research that it is backed up, that, you know, I'm not just some guru. I didn't just pick this out of my pocket and made it up. There's some really good evidence that shows that these things work. And if you really take the time to adopt some of them, that's where the work is adopting them.
Right. There are a lot of, I think, skeptics about health at every size and intuitive eating, that they kind of feel like this is just letting yourself go. This is just giving up. What do you think about that? How would you respond to that?
It's actually, my response is that it's the complete opposite. Intuitive eating and health at every size is really, like I said, being more connected, being more attuned to your whole body and to all the things that nourish it, to how you eat emotionally, to how you deal with your emotions. I think it's building actually more connectedness into your whole body than giving up. But people just think, because they say, oh, I have permission to eat and I don't need to change the number on the scale, they see that as just giving up. Where I explain to people, it's really about actually doing a little bit more work, a little bit more uncomfortable work. But in the long term, you're going to get some huge results and change everything about how you think about food.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about diets, that's actually pretty easy to go on a diet. I mean, I was a long-term member of Weight Watchers, and I liked it partly because it seems so easy. You show up at the meeting, they give you the materials, and it's really, honestly, it is easy to count your food, and it is easy to portion things out, and it's actually very easy, and that was always my thought. Oh, this is so easy. Why isn't everybody doing this? There are things about dieting that's not easy, of course. It's right. Going hungry and feeling deprived. But there's way more work in intuitive eating and learning to embrace your own internal cues around eating.
And also to accept the body that you have now.
Absolutely. That's the biggest part of the work that you have to do. So to say that it's giving up, it's really not. If you're really truly embracing health at every size and intuitive eating, it is a lot of work. But it's the kind of work that I feel that you can do forever, and that you build upon every day. You're building upon what you've learned. You're creating these eating experiences that inform the way you're going to eat in the future.
Yeah.
And it's something you can do forever versus I always felt like I was falling off a diet wagon.
You know, it's funny when you sort of talked about the emotions of going on a diet, because I sort of think of it as this up and down emotion roller coaster. You know, the excitement of sort of starting a new diet, right? The first like couple days of just like,
it's super exciting.
You're like super excited. And then, yeah. And then you're like in the middle of it and it's the emotions are sort of coming down, and then, you know, it doesn't work eventually. And then you go back to your old habits, and then you're in this doldrum of like, oh, I need to start another diet. And you're like so low, right? And you sort of ride these crests of like really high emotions and really low emotions, where I sort of think of, you know, intuitive eating and health at every size is, you know, trying to stay in the middle, right? Not be, you know, sort of you're never really high or really low. You're just sort of, you know, observing your eating habits and just trying to, you know, be as attuned as possible. I've said attuned 5 times, but it really is one of the core things that I think helps people be aware of all their habits.
Right. Absolutely. It's funny you talk about the ups and downs, the dieting. I mean, absolutely experience those. And what doesn't help or does help, I guess, is that you lose a little bit of weight and you're kind of riding that crest up. And then, you know, you like every dieter, you plateau. And it's so common that a place like Weight Watchers say, oh, it happens to everybody. Don't worry. Just eat less food, you know.
Or work out more.
Or work out more. Or do some other things that you already don't have time or energy for. So, yeah, I agree. Like, intuitive eating, I've been on such an even keel. It's so wonderful to not be afraid of food and eating, but also not to be so driven by it and obsessed by it. And I think that is what gets removed. And in some ways, that is a little bit sad sometimes. I used to think I was such a foodie. Oh, I love food. I love food. You know, I can't wait to eat. I was just hungry. I still like food.
That's such a great comment.
Yeah, I mean, I was just so hungry that, of course, I love food. I mean, you have these physiological processes that kick in that make food seem way more delicious and wonderful. And I used to think I was, oh, I love donuts. I love donuts. I don't really like donuts all that much. I mean, they're okay and once in a while, but people bring in donuts to the office. And, oh, the donuts are here. I'm like, yeah, I don't really feel like a donut right now. And they, yeah, oh, you don't want a donut. What's wrong with you? I just don't feel like a donut. So I think that's what intuitive eating has done for me, is that it has removed that craziness around food. And now I really do get to eat the things that I really like. Yeah. And it is an even keel, as you said. So that's what's so wonderful about it.
You know, what's so interesting is how similar our stories are about, you know, both dieting, but also, you know, embracing these sort of non-diet approaches and using them in our life and in our professional life. So, you know, this is our first podcast, right? Our maiden voyage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what would you want our listeners to sort of get out of this experience over as we sort of start to talk about these philosophies in more detail?
The one thing I would love for people to know, because I never knew this when I was a dieter, is that there is another alternative to dieting. There isn't just, if you're overweight or you're fat, however you want to frame it, obese, you know, there isn't just you have to go on a diet and lose weight. There is this alternative life that you can live, which is, I'm going to do healthy things. I'm going to try to eat healthfully. I'm going to exercise, but I'm going to enjoy my exercise. I'm just going to do healthy things. And then, gee, maybe I'll be healthy. And that is actually what the science is showing as well, is that fitness, not fatness, really is a better predictor of long-term health. There's a lot of other predictors that have nothing to do with your weight. Your socioeconomic status, for instance, is a huge predictor of that, of your health. So that is what I want people to know, is that you don't have to diet. Certainly, if you want to try, you know, people can do what they want. I will support people in whatever they want to do, but at least know, educate yourself to know that there is another alternative. And that the other alternative that goes along with that is not hating your body and just embracing what you have now and being appreciative of what you have now, versus you go on a diet and you're not appreciative of what you have now because you were trying to change what you have, at least externally. And so that, I think that's the takeaway. Yeah. I'm hoping.
Yeah. And you know, I think those are all really important points. And I think the other thing that I would sort of add to that is, this podcast is also to help us connect. right?
Right.
You know, that so people can see that dietitians don't fit into one model, right? One mold. And that, you know, we, in addition to espousing these philosophies, live with them, struggle with them. And, you know, we want to make it as personable as possible, that, you know, that everyone can do this. And hopefully our experiences will help motivate people to embrace it a little bit more in their life.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're kind of the living embodiment of, hey, you don't have to diet. It's okay. You can let your body do what it's going to do and just be healthy and be happy. And the most important thing is being happy. So, yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, that's it for our first podcast of Dietitians Unplugged. For Glennis Oyston, I'm Aaron Flores. We hope you enjoyed listening and check back for future episodes of Dietitians Unplugged podcast. Have a great day.